Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A conclusion of a great week. One of the new presidential nominees or candidates for president is going to be joining us later in this show. His name is Doug Burgum. He is the governor of North Dakota. And yeah, nobody's heard of him outside of North Dakota. But he has an amazing record, and he seems to be a very solid conservative guy who is running focused on three things: on national security, on energy, and making America energy dominant again, and then the economy. We'll be speaking to Governor Burgum and talking about what he has to offer. He thinks that other candidates don't. Speaking of new candidates for the presidency, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I know, he's not eligible. He can't run for president. He was born in Austria. And you have to be born here in the United States. You remember all of that nonsense about Barack Obama. He was born in the United States. But it is a requirement in the Constitution. So, what is he doing while promoting his rather remarkable new documentary film? He's talking about, he's asked about it by Chris Wallace, and he's talking about a race for the presidency. Is that what we need, given some of the very controversial elements of Governor Schwarzenegger's past? One of the most controversial to me was his support for the high-speed train, which has ended up being the most gigantic boondoggle. Schwarzenegger started it. It was continued by Jerry Brown, and now Gavin Newsom doesn't know what to do with it because the train basically goes nowhere. It was supposed to go between L.A. and San Francisco. That's another story. We will also be speaking to Michael Reagan, the president's oldest son, about lessons from his father. And honestly, when I think about President Reagan and what he brought to his country, what he brought to his family, which Michael Reagan talks about in the new book, there is a real question about what we can learn and how we can benefit from President Reagan and his example. We'll be talking about that very directly with Michael Reagan later in the show. And Barack Obama has been very quiet in the whole discussion about the indictments of President Trump and the ongoing campaign as it's emerging, and about President Biden, his vice president now running for re-election, and finding it's not going to be an easy campaign for anybody right now. But Barack Obama spoke out on issues of race and politics, and he specifically took on one of the Republican contenders. What is that about? And is that an indication that all of the rumors that continue to circulate about Michelle Obama stepping into the presidential race? I think that the nature of what President Obama said, which we'll play for you, is an indication that, no, she isn't planning to do that. And there is breaking news. The breaking news is a 12-member jury in federal court in Pittsburgh convicted Robert G. Bowers, 50, of Baldwin, Pennsylvania, on all 63 counts, including hate crimes and weapons violations, after 2 weeks of searing testimony from dozens of prosecution witnesses. This is on the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue mass shooting. Among those who testified were survivors, including police officers, who had been shot during the attack. All told, there were 11 people who were killed, many of them shot in the head. they were actually members of three different congregations because those congregations were sharing the same space in Pittsburgh. The report from the Washington Post says that prosecutors played haunting 911 emergency calls during which victims could be heard screaming and struggling to breathe before dying amid rapid gunfire from Bowers, who used an AR-15 assault rifle and three handguns. Five police officers were wounded as they attempted to apprehend Bowers during the attack on October 27, 2018, in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood, a longtime Jewish enclave. Bowers shot six victims in the head and fired about 100 rounds of ammunition in all, prosecutors said. The jury deliberated for a total of about 5 hours over 2 days before reaching the verdict. Bowers' defense team, which did not call any witnesses and introduce no evidence, didn't dispute that he carried out the massacre. In her opening statement, public defender Judy Clark suggested that Bowers was motivated to violence not because of a hatred of Jews, but rather because he feared that congregants were aiding immigrants, whom he considered a threat to Americans. None of this is true, another defense attorney, Elisa Long, said during her closing arguments Thursday. But it is what Mr. Bowers believed to be true. And the idea appears to be that because the one thing that they're pleading for is that there was no question and never any real question that Bowers was going to be found guilty, and he was going to, at the very minimum, have had life imprisonment without possibility of parole. In fact, he had offered a plea bargain deal, which could have saved people a great deal of time, that he would plead guilty to everything so long as he didn't get the death penalty. And there are many people, many survivors, including the rabbi of one of the congregations, the Tree of Life congregations, who believes that the death penalty is important and an appropriate message to send. There is, in fact, a statement today from the rabbi, Rabbi Jeffrey Myers of Tree of Life Congregation, who survived the attack. He also expressed gratitude. "I am grateful to God for getting us to this day," he said in a statement. "And I am thankful for the law enforcement who ran into danger to rescue me, and the U.S. attorney who stood up in court to defend my right to pray. Today I am focused on being with my congregation and praying, singing, and clapping in praise of God as we do each Shabbat." Of course, tonight is Shabbat, begins the new observance of the Sabbath. Rabbi Myers added, "In the face of the horror that our community has experienced, I can think of no better response than practicing my Jewish faith and leading worship." The prosecutors are seeking the death penalty, and the next phase of the trial could last up to 6 weeks. The first phase of the trial determined whether Bowers would be found guilty or not guilty of the charges. A second phase, now that a jury has found him guilty, and they did so in just 5 hours, which is a pretty quick response for this kind of trial. And the new phase, which will begin on June 26, will determine whether or not he will face the death penalty or life in prison. If the jury does not find unanimously in favor of the death penalty, Bowers would automatically receive a sentence of life in prison under sentencing guidelines. I will tell you why one of the things that made me think how appropriate the death penalty is in this case is thinking about Theodore Kaczynski, who just killed himself at age 81. But he had all those years after he had killed three people by sending bombs to them and crippled other people. I'm a friend of David Galernter's, who lost the use of his right hand and lost an eye because of a bomb set by Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Bomber. Sometimes there are reasons for the death penalty to exist. This is one of them. We'll be right back.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special MedVed history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. MedVed Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved show, I mentioned before that Barack Obama got drawn into or stumbled into the presidential campaign, and he actually had criticism for Senator Tim Scott, the only black Republican member of the United States Senate, and a leading candidate for the presidency, somebody who has been rising in the polls and is one of the four or five top candidates of the more than a dozen who have stepped into the Republican race. What happened was Obama was doing a podcast with his former senior White House advisor and campaign manager and overall political guru, David Axelrod. And he was asked in that podcast interview about Scott's messaging on race, which has been very optimistic. He says that his life, given the fact that he grew up poor, his parents were divorced when he was very young, and he grew up in public housing circumstances. His mom took in laundry, and he, despite all the odds, ended up being a member of the House of Representatives in the U.S. Senate. And he had great-grandparents who were in slavery. And as he says, that's the trajectory for black people in America that we ought to celebrate. So when Barack Obama was asked about this, he had this to say about Senator Scott, clip 13.
I'm not being cynical about Tim Scott individually. If a Republican who may even be sincere in saying, I want us all to live together, doesn't have a plan for how do we address crippling generational poverty that is a consequence of hundreds of years of racism in the society, and we need to do something about that. If that candidate is not willing to acknowledge that, again and again, we've seen discrimination in everything from job getting a job to buying a house to how the criminal justice system operates, then I think people are rightly skeptical.
Okay, the point about what Tim Scott has said, he did a radio interview in which he responded very directly to what President Obama had said about him. This is Senator Scott.
He missed a softball moving at slow speed with a big bat. You can't miss this opportunity. And I will tell you, the one thing the far left does not want a black person to be in this country is a conservative. It is possible for America to come together, but not because of the color of our skin, but because of the consistency of our value system.
Okay, and he also said, and issued the statement as well, he said, let us not forget we are a land of opportunity, not a land of oppression. Democrats deny our progress to protect their power. The left wants you to believe faith in America is a fraud and progress in our nation is a myth. The truth of my life, said Senator Tim Scott, disproves the lies of the radical left. We live in a country where little black and brown boys and girls can be president of the United States. The truth is, we've had one, and the good news is, we will have another. And he has his ideas of who that next black president of color should be. The one thing that is so peculiar here about this is that, Barack Obama talking about racism and the impact of racism, Barack Obama grew up with privilege. He did. His father, who was a terrible father, by the way, and yes, abandoned a baby Barack when he was 6 weeks old, I believe it was. And his father has a graduate degree from Harvard. He has a master's degree in economics. His mother has a PhD from University of Hawaii. He was raised by his grandmother, who was vice president of the Bank of Hawaii. She was a banker. He himself went to Ivy League schools. His entire life trajectory did not show this systemic racism for a moment, really, that he talks about here. And Nikki Haley actually did a tweet concerning President Obama and this whole issue. She said, Barack Obama sent minorities back by singling them out as victims instead of empowering them. In America, hard work and personal responsibility matter. My parents didn't raise me to think that I would forever be a victim. They raised me to know that I was responsible for my success. And yes, she has talked about that and written about that. Given the fact that her parents were Sikhs and that they were, quote, brown people, they were people of color from India, she had the experience in the small town in which they lived. They had two different categories for the local beauty pageant, black and white. And she didn't get to compete because they didn't know where to put her. Which one do you come in? And which, well, probably for a little girl, and this was when she was, I think, 12, something like that. But in any event, of course, that's a difficult thing to go through. And then there is a there is more coming up. We're going to be speaking with Jonathan Last, and there's breaking news actually on the campaign, because yesterday Glenn Youngkin, who has kind of indicated no, he's not going to be running for president, he could be joining the Stampede. We will get to that and more with Jonathan Last, who is one of the most consistent and intriguing and substantive of commentators on this entire electoral duel. And the ongoing Francis Suarez, who announced last night his candidacy for president, actually took a few swipes at Ron DeSantis, and Ron DeSantis isn't even the front runner. But Glenn Youngkin jumping in, would he suddenly be one of the front runners? We will talk about that. And also the tendency now of serious candidates for the Republican nomination actually taking the risk of offering some criticism of President Trump. On what basis? We will get to that and to much more coming up with Jonathan Last.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is wrong. This is outrageous.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update, except for the practices of the Minneapolis Police Department.
George Floyd should be alive today. Attorney General Merrick Garland on the findings of the Justice Department after 2 years of investigating the death of Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police. The report says Minneapolis police routinely violated the rights of minorities and people with disabilities. Guilty on all counts, the verdict in Pittsburgh for the man accused of opening fire at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018, killing 11 people, the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history. Ja Morant of the NBA will miss the first 25 games of the next season, his punishment for a second incident of flashing guns in a social media post. The town of Perryton, Texas, is the scene of a rescue and recovery effort after two tornadoes blew through yesterday. At least 3 people were killed and dozens hurt. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome Jonathan Last. He is a prolific author. He is the editor of The Bulwark. He has been writing columns almost daily about the ongoing struggle for both nominations. And I mentioned yesterday that there was some reason to think that Joe Biden, through a colossal series of errors, political errors, may have made his own nomination by the Democratic Party less certain than it was before. Jonathan, first of all, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that Glenn Youngkin was on the verge of coming in and talked about a campaign video that he had dropped. You don't still believe that he's considering jumping into the race along with everybody else?
I think he probably is for, I mean, the two reasons. The first is the immutable reason that his term will be up and he can't run again and he cannot win a Senate seat in Virginia. It's Virginia's just still a blue state. So this is a guy who seems to be loaded with ambition, and if he's loaded with the ambition the way I think he is, then the only thing to do is run for president. He doesn't have another move on the board. But the other reason is that DeSantis keeps declining. And if DeSantis really stops looking like the clear consensus number two, I think that could entice another challenger into the ring. I mean, in foreign affairs, they say that weakness is a provocation. And I think that's basically true about DeSantis' position. He's down to 13% in the latest poll from New Hampshire, which is just an astonishing number. You know, it's like Trump 49, DeSantis 13, Christie 9. And that is the kind of numbers that I think are going to make anybody who is still the tiniest bit on the fence, and you know, Youngkin can self-fund, so that makes things an easier lift for him. I think it's going to make them keep looking hard at the race.
So, meanwhile, this week we've had two brand new Republicans joining the race. We have Governor Burgum is joining us on our show coming up. And the governor of North Dakota, who is running for president of the United States, and Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, very popular mayor of Miami. He won for re-election, running for re-election with 82% of the vote. And he's a Republican running in what is increasingly a Democratic city. What do these two want to get out of the campaign?
You know, Burgum is more interesting to me than Suarez, because Burgum can self-fund. He spent more money on the air in Iowa this past week than anybody else running for president, close to $2 million, I think, on the air. He has his own money. He can self-fund. I think he is also kind of an interesting possibility. I can see a world in which he catches on and could pop into the top four or top five in a way that a Nikki Haley or a Tim Scott might not be able to. So I would watch Burgum. You know, North Dakota is not all that far from Iowa. He's from a rural state, which really gives him a kinship with Iowa voters. That sort of stuff matters. That's why Mike Huckabee did very well in Iowa, because, you know, rural sees rural. As far as I just don't quite – I know very little about him. Anytime a mayor jumps into a presidential race, it's because they're looking to jump the line on their next job. And I don't know what he's looking for, but he's not running for president. He's running for whatever his next job is.
Right. He is somebody who did not vote. He has admitted it for Ron DeSantis when he originally ran for governor. He voted for Ron DeSantis – the second time, this is Francis Suarez we're talking about, the mayor of Miami, who just jumped into the presidential race. He also didn't vote for President Trump in 2020 when he was running against Biden, so that makes him kind of stick out in the field, don't you think?
I think it's really. And you look at him, right? He's a guy who is on the make in Florida, where Florida is going to be locked down in DeSantis land for the next 3 years. So, you know, what is his move next? Is he looking to run for governor of Florida in 2024 or 2028, rather, as DeSantis moves out? Is he eyeing one of the Senate seats? It's hard just for me to really see what the angle is here, unless he is banking on doing a full Mayor Pete. The idea being to jump the line to a national profile by getting into the next Republican administration, because he impresses voters and impresses people with his performance on the national stage. And that's not a crazy thing to see. And we'll see whether or not he has the goods, right? And we'll see how he looks on the stump, how he looks if he is able to get into a kids' table debate. And if he is a natural political talent, then maybe he can jump the queue.
Well, again, he certainly has been successful. He's the son of a previous mayor of Miami who was also very popular. If you look over this Republican race right now, and you were going to pick somebody who, with the weakness that everybody has perceived from Ron DeSantis right now, if he's not going to be the main competition against Donald Trump, who is the best candidate for that role? Or is it just going to be Trump walking away with it no matter how many times he's indicted?
I mean, I... you look at it and your brain says this can't work, right? The guy will be indicted again, possibly, almost certainly, you know, so what, three indictments running against him, three criminal cases. That doesn't compute, doesn't make sense. On the other hand, nobody who leads in the way that he leads at this point, and it is later than we think. I mean, we're in June, and we're going to have Super Tuesday in like 7 months. And so when you break it down, like 7 months is 28 weeks. Like that, things have to start moving. And people ahead this much almost always win. You know, Barack Obama was never as far behind as Hillary Clinton as DeSantis has been for Trump for a long while now. This is just, it's an overwhelming advantage. I suspect Trump is the nominee. And if you were going to ask me to bet for Trump or the field at this point, I would want odds to take the field. That said, when you look at the field and you say, well, who could take off?
That's what I'm asking.
It's still possible. Yeah, it's still possible DeSantis could. I mean, DeSantis could right the ship. He has enough money to do it. I do think he lacks the retail political skill. I just think he's not an especially compelling political personality. Don't sleep on Vivek Ramaswamy. I know this sounds crazy.
As Doug Burgum. By the way, I like Doug Burgum. I think he's a major political talent.
I do, too. I think he's very good. I don't know that his message fits what Republican voters are looking for, though. And here's what I've been saying. I've been saying for the last 2 years now that if there's going to be a serious challenge to Trump, it's likely to come from somebody wholly outside of the political establishment. It would be a Tucker Carlson type. And because I just don't think the Republican base has an appetite for normal politicians anymore. And so a challenge to Trump would have to be somebody who makes Trump look like the establishment politician. And that's kind of what Ramaswamy is. I mean, it is shocking that he's registered at all. You know, I mean, he's, I think, sitting at like 4 or 5%. He's certainly going to get onto the main debate stages.
Yeah, he's already gotten the 40,000 contributors. And he's 37 years old, and he's committed to spending $100 million of his own money in the campaign. Jonathan, can you hang on for a few moments more?
Sure thing.
Good. We will be right back with the one, the only Jonathan V. Last, editor of The Bulwark, coming right back.
Michael Medved.
I am so much better at what he's doing than he is.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. This is Michael Medved, and when you're young, your immune system is strong and it defends you. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, fast food, that can make your body acidic, and every disease known to man can attack you and still win. Hospitals and doctors have nothing to unlock your immune system, but now there's Balance 7. With Balance 7, in just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. I use Balance 7 every day. Try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. water plus a free bottle of my Smooth Skin for first-time gallon orders. Free shipping and a money-back guarantee. All you need to do is mention my name, Medved, or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or visit balance7.com. Get healthy, feel better with Balance 7. Use the code word Medved.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Father's Day coming up, as everybody knows, and you might want to consider a fine and funny book by Jonathan Last. It is called The Dadly Virtues, Adventures from the Worst Job You'll Ever Love. And that book came out a while ago, but I also wanted to try something with Jonathan Last, who is editor of The Bulwark, who is kind enough to join us on this eve of Father's Day. Jonathan, this is fascinating to me, as the NBC organization took a GOP primary poll and back 8 years ago, and it's June of 2015, just at this stage of the campaign that eventually elected Trump as president. And the order of the Republican contenders in that June 2015 primary poll, Jeb Bush was leading the pack with 22%. His main rival for the nomination was Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, 17%. Senator Rubio, another Floridian, was 14%. Dr. Ben Carson, who had never run for public office before, at 11%. Mike Huckabee, 9%. Ron Paul, or was it Rand Paul? I guess by that time it was Rand Paul at 7%.
Rand, yeah.
Then Governor Perry of Texas, 5%. Ted Cruz, another Texan, 4%. Chris Christie, 4%. Carly Fiorina, 2%. And Trump, Graham, Lindsey Graham, and John Kasich, all at 1% each. Something happened in there. What was it? What is the secret how Trump starting off? Because he was already well known to people from The Apprentice, and everybody knew his name. But as recently, and you made the very good point that it's 7 months until we get into primaries and caucuses. It's just 2 months before the first Republican debate, which there's new arguments about. Asa Hutchinson says he wants to participate in the debate even without making that promise to support the ultimate nominee. With all of that going on, what was it that Trump did that got him from that 1% to about the 25% that ultimately won him the presidency?
Yeah, so we have to understand, Trump had just launched, so his announcement was on June 16th of 2015, and so right around now, he had just popped out. But if you, I'm going by memory here, but I believe that if you go 2 weeks further to July, early July, first week of July in 2015, I believe you see Trump at 11%. So he popped almost immediately. And what he did was he differentiated himself, A, by being an untraditional candidate, not a politician as usual, fresh face, outsider, but B, with enormously high name recognition. As you said, he'd been a public figure for 40 years, but somehow was both a universally known public figure and a fresh face in politics. But C, he ran at immigration in a way that nobody else in the Republican primary was willing to go. You know, this was a party which had been, I guess not, nobody is too strong. Ted Cruz was trying to run as a restrictionist, but not in the nakedly sort of racist way that Trump was. He was selling something different than anybody had sold in the mainstream Republican circles in at least a couple decades. And he popped very, very quickly. It did not take a long time for him to build up steam. I believe within 8 weeks he was in the lead. And, you know, it wasn't a big lead, but he was up at like 19%. Jeb had fallen to, you know, 15 or something like that. And then basically led the national polls from wire to wire. I mean, it's a strange thing. He did not run. I mean, he pulled to an inside straight in some ways, but in others, he was ahead almost the entire race after getting in. And he, you know, when you lead, you tend to keep leading. It's not often that somebody pops up and then goes back down. And you look at some of these other guys, you know, I mean, Jeb was, his 22% was based almost entirely on name ID. Scott Walker, I don't know what would have happened to him had he stayed in, but he pulled himself out of the race. Rubio grew from his 14%. Ben Carson was never really serious. Rand Paul stayed basically where he was. Perry stayed basically where he was. Cruz grew. Christie didn't grow all that much, right? Christie wound up getting to like 9% in New Hampshire, I think. So these things wind up in a weird way more stable than you think, earlier than you think. And that's why yes, it's true, there's lots of time and anything can happen. But on the other hand, most of the time, anything doesn't happen. I mean, most of the time, the trends, durable trends in polls tend to remain durable.
You have a piece you recently wrote for the Bulwark about the four tests for American democracy that have been put out there because of the rise of Donald Trump, his presidency, and the prospect of a second Trump presidency. And of those four tests, you say one of them we've already failed. Two of them we've come through with flying colors. And one of them has yet to be decided. Very quickly, how do you break those tests down?
Yeah, so I mean, the first test was for the American public when faced with the choice of Donald Trump in 2016. And, you know, he didn't win a majority, but he won the Electoral College. And people said, yeah, this pathological liar and former game show host who has a life of skating just on the one side of the law, yeah, we'll give him the nuclear code. That sounds good. And it didn't matter how many people warned him about it.
Well, he'll put them safely in the bathroom with the chandeliers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But since then, in 2020, the public passed that test again. They were given it again. They were given a retake. And they said, no thanks, we'll pass. Joe Biden got the second largest majority of the last 20 years. It was a very impressive victory. It was closer than it probably should have been because of the Electoral College, which just is a matter of absolute votes. He did very, very well. The third test we've passed is the rule of law, and the justice system has not been perfect, but then the justice system is never perfect. But it is proceeding about the way you would have hoped, which is to say, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, and the President have all acted in responsible and, from what we can tell, impartial ways. They have been proper in how they have handled the allegations of Donald Trump's lawbreaking, and they're pursuing it seriously. But also at the same time, giving the accused all of the rights which the accusers do. So okay. I think this is, you know, whatever a jury verdict is, I think we can be very pleased with how the Attorney General and the special counsel have conducted themselves.
Okay, so next up, there's that test we haven't either passed or failed. And what's that one?
And that's the Republican Party. The Republican Party has gone along with everything Trump has done, both at the elite level and at the popular level of the actual voters. And it remains to be seen whether or not they will continue to do so. It's possible, right? It's possible that they will say, yeah, I'm sorry, this is a bridge too far. We can't do this anymore. But I don't think that tipping point exists. I think actually we passed that tipping point back in 2018 and that this is just where we are.
And there's an interesting piece today that takes a look at the fact that how many people in the Republican Party actually think that President Trump should be tried on these charges about mishandling top secret documents. And it's not a majority of Republicans. It's a majority of everybody else. But it's a big chunk. It's like 40%. And that idea maybe is some indication that this will have an impact that could change the direction of this political season. Jonathan V. Last, always fascinating. His book on the Dadly Virtues, still available for Father's Day. You can read him in the Bulwark or go to michaelmedved.com. We've clicked along to some of his columns in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.